I think this is a very interesting summer we've had. So far, it's been boiling every day. And I think there's something with Brits. When it's cold, you guys will say, oh, it's so cold. And when it's hot, oh, it's so hot. So we need to make up our minds. Which one do you guys want, hot or cold? If it's hot, raise your hand. I'm just joking. I'm not quite sure which one I prefer, to be frank, but we're going with it. So this morning we're going to continue from where we stopped last week. We've been looking at a series called Vision. What will my future look like? So that's what we've been looking at. This is the third installment. And we started by saying, what is vision? I got a simple dictionary definition meaning from Google. And it says, vision is the mental ability to imagine and plan for the future. So I've been looking at, since we started this series, looking at every aspect of my life and just trying to say, okay, in this aspect of my life, what would I like to see in the future? You know, vision is different from when you are just going about your business, going to work, providing for your family, and all those are daily things that we do. But vision is actually saying, what do I really want my life to look like? What will bring the fulfillment that I really want? So it's sitting down and really imagining that ideal place for yourself, that ideal place for your family, that ideal place for the people who you look after. Imagining what that would look like. That is what vision begins to talk about, imagining what your future will be like. And we mentioned at the start that we can categorize vision into three types. Well, let me not say three types. Let me just say there are a number of ways that your life can go, that my life can go. There are a number of visions that can make our lives, or that our lives can go towards. And I mentioned three of those. I said the first one is we can live in God's vision for our lives. And we looked at Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11. And this is God's vision for every single individual. Jeremiah 29, 11 says, "For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future." So this encapsulates what God has for you and I. Even before we were born, God had already thought, for this individual, this is what I want your life to be like. You know, this is what I want the life of your children to look like. And it says that plan is not to harm you. It says that plan is to give you hope and to give you a future. So God has a good vision for you and I. And that's one vision that we can walk in. There are two other types that I've categorized as well. Another vision that an individual can have is when you have a vision for yourself, which isn't bad, but you leave God out of it, which means you just want to plan everything and make choices that do not have God in it. They might not necessarily be bad or evil, but it's just that God is out of it. And we looked at a portion of scripture, Proverbs chapter 14, verse 12. It says, "There is a way that appears right, but at the end leads to death." Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 12. So what that is saying is that we looked at the example of a man called Lot. Good man, lover of God, loved God, but he made a choice or a number of choices that left God out of it, and where he ended up wasn't good at all. Now, the third type of vision that an individual can experience, which is the one that we're looking at today, is the vision that the devil has for that individual. So three types: God's vision for you, your vision for yourself that excludes God, and the third one is the vision that the devil has for every single individual. Now, by default, if an individual just goes about life, doesn't even think that there's a vision anywhere, only if God helps that individual. But the default that a lot of people fall into is the devil's one for them. But that will never be our own portion in Jesus' name. We will always walk in God's plan for ourselves. So today we're looking at the plan of the devil, or the vision of the devil for an individual. And I was thinking and reflecting on this for several days. And it was just last night that the thing finally landed in my spirit. Okay, that this is what you need to talk about. Now, we're going to go back to the very, very, very beginning of time. And we're going to look at this in three sections this morning. We're going to look at the story of Adam and Eve, the first man and woman. And I will read Genesis chapter 1, verse 27 and 28. It says, "So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said to them, 'Be fruitful and increase in number, fill the earth and subdue it.'" So the first thing God does when he creates human beings, he says he blessed them and he said, "Look, spread out, subdue the earth." So it was a blessing that God had in the first instance for every individual. And Adam and Eve went about their lives. I mean, the Bible says that Adam was walking in the garden, Genesis chapter 2, verse 17. And he brought Eve into the life of Adam, Genesis chapter 2, verse 18. And the Bible says something about this place that they were living in, the Garden of Eden. It says that there was no rain in that garden. I don't think it was as hot as this. And it said the way that garden was watered was that mist came out from the ground and watered the garden. Everything was cool. They didn't have council tax to pay. They didn't have, what's the name of these subscriptions that just go out of your account? In my own house, once it hits the 20th of every month and I open my bank account, I'm like, oh, man, how I wish I was in the Garden of Eden. All the direct debits go out. Council tax, this, and that. They didn't have any of that. Do you get what I mean? They didn't have turning on the news or going onto YouTube and seeing that the economy was in a dangerous place. They didn't read that some tech companies laid off 2,000 people with an email. They weren't thinking, oh my goodness, what are the prices going to be like? Am I going to be able to pay the fees for my kids? Am I going to be able to do this? Am I going to be able to do that? No. It was a cool life. Everybody say cool life. Okay, no. Do you know what, right? That's my American slang. I tested you guys with that just to see how you'd respond. Now, I'm going to say that again. And please, I want you guys to respond, not with the British one. I want you to give me like an American response. But before you respond with an American response, let me show you an example of what American response is like. You ready? This is American response. Don't say anything yet. If I say, "Praise the Lord," you say, "Preach it, Pastor. Hallelujah." That's American. This is British. British is, "Praise the Lord. Hallelujah." No. So I'm going to say, "Praise the Lord" this morning. And I would love you guys to do American response. If you do not, I will drop the mic. You guys will come and take over. So, "Praise the Lord." Hey, I think that's overdoing it a bit. I didn't say woo, woo. I just said, "Say hallelujah." Prince, keep an eye on that sister at the back there. Keep an eye on her. She has been watching too many American movies. But what am I saying here? I'm saying that their life was perfect. Their life was perfect because they were walking in the in the vision that God had for them. And that vision, the Bible tells us in Jeremiah chapter 29, 11, that vision is good. It was good. But like I mentioned, the devil too had a plan for them. The devil looked at them and said, how can these people be enjoying like this? How can these people be, you know, having everything so cool? We go to the second part of this message. I'm looking at three parts. Now, the Bible tells us something that the devil looked at them and he decided that, look, I have a plan for these people as well. How can I infiltrate and cause these people to deviate from the plan of God? I read Genesis chapter 1. Give me Genesis chapter 3, verses 1 to 7. Genesis chapter 3, verses 1 to 7. It says, now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord had made. He said to the woman, did God really say you must not eat from the tree in the garden? Pause. So, the devil strolls into the garden as a serpent. Well, he takes the form of a serpent, and the Bible refers to the serpent in Revelations. As Revelations 12, 9, you don't have to go there, as the devil. So he strolls into the area, and very casually, he didn't come to scare them. He didn't come and say, I'm going to kill you. No. He just comes casually. And he says, now, did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden? Just a casual conversation like I'm saying now. Let's go to the next verse. I'll read to 7, then I'll come back to this. The woman said to the serpent, we may eat fruit from the trees in the garden. Next. But God did say you must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it or you will die. Next verse. You will not certainly die, the serpent said to the woman. For God knows that when you eat from it, your eyes will be open and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. She also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it. We'll read 7 and I'll pause there. Then the eyes of both of them were open and they realized that they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. Go to verse 13 of Genesis chapter 3, please. Verse 13. It says, then after they had eaten the whole thing, their eyes were open. It says, then the Lord said to the woman, what is this that you have done? The woman said, the serpent deceived me. And I ate. So just leave it there. So this is a very typical scenario of how the devil infiltrates the lives of people, or how he tries to infiltrate your life and my life. Very subtly. Now, the devil knows that for a lot of us as believers, there are certain things that if he brings your way, you will know straight away that this is the devil playing up here. And you will just ignore it. So what does he do? He employs something called deception. And we read that the agenda of the devil is in John, his MO is in John 10:10a. It says, the thief comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. If the devil says hi to you, if the devil smiles to you, if the devil gives you a gift, if the devil says, oh, let me open your car door so you can enter, the only objective he has is to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Anything that the devil does in this world, that is his MO. even if it seems nice. That is where he wants to take that individual to. Do you understand? So, let's go back to Genesis chapter 3, verse 1. So, you have Adam and Eve living their lives, they're cool, everything is going on well, they're going along God's plan for them. And the devil now turns up. And he begins to have the conversation with them. So this is what he now begins to do. The first thing is he catches their attention. He catches Eve's attention. Hi. He catches her attention. Hi, how are you doing? Lovely day. What's the weather like? Are you in England? Yeah. Oh, it was 27 degrees yesterday. It was 30 today. Oh, the devil responds. Oh, do you shop at Sainsbury's or Tesco's? Tesco's sometimes, Sainsbury's, depends. And he catches her attention with brief conversation. Nothing heavy. He didn't say, do you go to church? He didn't say, you're going to, No, he didn't. He just casual conversation. And she engages in that conversation with him. Mistake number one. Then what does the devil do next? He now begins to have the conversation. He now turns it towards God. So three things that I see the devil doing in terms of how he approaches us. First, he catches our attention with one thing or the other. The second thing, he now slips God into it. He's now like, man, that church that you go to, I like the way they do their praise and worship, but, man, don't you think it's a bit too much? Don't you think you should just pull it back a bit, this church thing? I mean, if you carry on like this, will you have time for your kids? Will you have, it's too much. Why don't you just, take it easy a bit. This church, do you want to become a fanatic? Do you know how those fanatics behave? And he begins to slip in these thoughts. Or he goes and he says, oh, the way your wife spoke to you now, I don't think she really has any regard for you. Look at it. When you woke up, she didn't even say anything. She just walked straight out and she went to the bathroom to brush her teeth. Shouldn't she have even said, hello, good morning? Engaging in conversation. If there are any married people here and they're smiling at me, I'm not going to look at anybody. I'm not talking about anybody here. I'm just saying. Why didn't he pick up? If your husband really regarded you, you've been telling him all these days, put your socks in the dirty basket thing. Put your socks in the dirty basket thing. This is the fourth time you've told him and you're still having to pick it up. Can you beat that? You came back from work. You were so tired. The dishes that he used since yesterday, he didn't even wash it. He left it in the sink for you. Are you his slave? Well, all that doesn't happen to you guys. Are you his slave? Can't he be more considerate? Can he be more considerate? The devil engaging that individual in conversation. So he was engaging Eve in conversation. Initially, she just said, oh, no, he's a good guy. He was just tired. Maybe left the thing out. Then he comes again and again. Then the woman begins to say, that's true. The guy is I don't think he's really considerate. If he were, he wouldn't be doing all that. And the devil begins to engage her in conversation. And why is the devil's MO in that situation? All the conversations that the devil is having is John 10:10. He wants to kill, to destroy anything that he can. Every relationship we have. That's his MO. So he engages, he tries to catch our attention. Then when he catches our attention sometimes, he begins these little conversations. He begins to pick out these little things that are not a thing at all and begins to magnify them Then he now turns it to God and says, God, in this instance, God doesn't really care about you guys. Really, all that church thing is just your money they want to collect. You know how they do on YouTube? So I watched this guy. I was like, you know, I've had enough. All this church thing, come on, relax, have fun, go out and party. You can't go to church Sunday, the Bible study, Bible this, Bible that. Come on, your life can't be so rigid. Relax. Do you get what I mean? And she began to consider what he was saying. She begins to give it thought. So the first thing he catches her attention, and after a while, she begins to give it thought. And the last thing where she now falls into his trap. He catches her attention, she gives it thought, and he brings her to a certain conclusion. And the conclusion that he brought her to was, this God that we're doing all this, if God was truly there, I've been praying about this thing. He hasn't answered my prayer. Oh, that thing that was there is still there. If God was really God, then this Pastor Benson is always saying, Jeremiah 29:11, God has a plan. I won't pick his call whenever he messages me, but I know you guys don't do that. And by the way, when I message you, it's not to harass you, you know, it's just find out how you're doing. I'm not going to respond. I've had enough. And he got her. So, catches her attention, gets her to consider what he's saying, and brings her to a conclusion. And that conclusion took her and her husband out of the will of God. So what am I saying here? We're looking at vision here. And we said that there are three kinds of vision that an individual can experience. The vision that God has, the vision that you have for yourself that is excluding God, and the vision that Adam and Eve experienced here, which was the vision that the devil had for them. So what conclusions are you coming to in your life? In every area of your life? The conclusions that you're coming to, do they align with what God wants for you? Do you think God has a plan for you at all? Or do you think it's just like a Bible speak it thing? What conclusions are you coming to in your life? What conclusions are you coming to in your relationship? What conclusions are you coming to about yourself? You know, there are times that God, has a plan for you as an individual. And maybe you've gone through certain challenges in life. Things have been a bit rough. It's possible that you can come to the conclusion for yourself that, you know, my life is just not going anywhere. Some people might go a step further and say, well, my life is inconsequential. My life is useless. I'm useless. I'm just going to survive. How did you come to that conclusion? Or how do individuals come to that conclusion? It's because the three things that we've seen the devil does is he catches their attention, has the conversation with them, and brings them to a conclusion that is not true about them in every area of our lives. So today we're looking at the vision that the devil has for every individual. We've said, in the case of Adam and Eve, we read Genesis chapter 3. They had a wonderful life. Things were going on. God had a plan for them. The same way that God has a plan for you as an individual, as a young person, as a married person, every aspect of your life God has a plan for, like Adam and Eve. But we saw that the devil began to whisper to them. And that's his job. He deceived them. Well, he deceived Eve. But the Bible says that Adam wasn't deceived. Can you beat that? He deceived Adam, I'm sorry, Eve, and he was able to implement his life, his agenda for them. I'm going to come to the final point now, but let me talk about that. Two people in a situation where one is deceived or one gets deceived and influences the other person to go in a particular direction, they now both eat the consequence of that thing. I wonder what Adam was thinking about. I don't know what his wife told him, but the Bible categorically says that Adam was not deceived. It was his wife. Now, I'm not making any inference here. I'm just using this as an example that it's not. I'm not saying wives are the ones that, you know, falter. No. It could be anyone. But the thing is this, and this one is for people who are married. You know, if you're married, God has given you your spouse to help you. And for any spouse, if you see your spouse making a decision, a choice, I'm not talking about everyday choice, I'm talking about a decision that can remove you from the will of God. As the spouse who at that point in time is seeing clearly, you must say no. We're not going to do that. And you tell them why. So these things switch, you know, they switch. So if you're in a position where someone close to you, again, is making a choice and they come to you and they're trying to get you to participate in that wrong choice, then you must say no. For your good and for their good. Adam just didn't say anything. He said, well, let me just, my wife, she's been, let me not, you know. No. No. So when am I staying here? The devil implemented his plan for them. And the third and final point is this. Whatever decisions we make from a vision perspective, you might think, well, it's just you that it will affect. But we see here that no. Often the choices that we make affect us, our children, and those around us. And it has a ripple effect. For the case of Adam and Eve, we're still seeing the ripple effect now. Where sin came into the world, we're eating the fruit of their choices. And that's the third point. So, as an individual, if you think, or if I think that, look, every choice I make, it stops with me. I can do whatever I want with my life. Nobody should tell me. Really? No problem. Do whatever you want with your life, but just be rest assured that the consequence will ripple through in your life and in generations to come. So why am I saying this? I'm saying this because if you decide to choose God's vision for your life, you're not just choosing it for yourself. You're choosing it for your children. You're choosing it for those who look up to you, who might not even be related to you. So we must be intentional about walking in God's vision for us as individuals. Why? Because God's vision for you and I is always good. We might go through difficult times in this life. The Bible says in John 16:33, it says, in this world, you will have trouble. But don't worry, I have overcome. There is trouble sometimes, even in God's vision for us. But he always says something. He says, we will overcome in whatever trouble we face. So I'm going to end here today. So what have I said today? A number of things. I've said vision is what you're expecting for the future and imagining what your future could be like. With said, vision can be enclosed in three destinations. One, a vision that God has for you, which is good. The vision that an individual has for themselves, which is devoid of God, which might not turn out good. And the third one is the vision that the devil has for you and I. And we said that the devil has one MO, John 10:10, to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And the way he begins to look at this thing, or the way he does it, is one, he catches our attention, engages us to consider what he's saying, and third, to bring us to certain conclusions that will have a ripple effect, not only in your life, but in the life of everyone around you. This morning, let us pray. I'm going to ask that we rise. And the prayer I want to pray this morning is, I believe, two. One, to thank God that God says something in Romans chapter 8, verse 28. And what God says in Romans chapter 8, 28 is this. It says, we know that in all things, not in some things. It says, in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who are called according to his purpose. So what this says is this: even if you and I have made wrong decisions that have swayed us, catapulted us sometimes outside of the will of God, outside of the plans of God, God says he can make all things work for your good. We're not saying God is the one that caused it, but he's saying that God can help you. And even though you might have found yourself in a position that is not palatable, he can work it out so that you fall back into his will. And the bad things that have happened to you, he will remove those things from making your destination bad. He can work out everything. So this morning, we just want to ask God and say, God, in every area or in any area of my life where I've made choices that have made me sway away from your will, make it work out for good. In Jesus' name, let us pray.